Thank you for joining us for this lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ is located at 1303 Evangel Drive, Huntsville, Alabama, 35816, and can be reached by phone at area code 256-837-8730. Now we hope you'll open your Bible and join us as Glenn Colley brings us a lesson from God's Word.
What really gets to you? Here's the biblical way to phrase it that I'm going to read to you in just a minute in Acts chapter 20. What is it that moves you? The older I get, I find that things pertaining to my children become emotional to me. They move me. That's always been true to some degree, but I think I'm looking at myself. I think that the older I get, the more that's true. I can be around other people's children and sometimes things will get to me because I'm thinking about mine. And maybe you're that way too. And there are other things that get to me. Sometimes it makes me mad at myself because there's sometimes things of a trivial nature that get inside of me and frustrate me. You have that happen, and after it does, I preach to myself, you shouldn't let that get to you, Glenn, because that doesn't amount to anything. That won't even matter at all tomorrow. What gets to you? It is very interesting to me that in the Bible, we're instructed not only in reference to our overt actions, but also we're instructed about our emotions and about our affections. Now that's kind of funny because you'd think that's just a natural inclination. I like the things that I like and I hate the things that I hate, and some things move me and some things don't, and you go on like that. But God wants not only my outside actions, He also wants my heart. And so in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in the first verse, Paul says, if you then be risen with Christ, that means if you've been baptized and you're a Christian, you've come up out of the water. If you've been risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now watch carefully. Set your affections not on things on the earth, things which are above the earth. How about that? Isn't that interesting? Set your affections. In other words, I want you to make some decisions about conforming your life and soul and body and heart and all of you to the things of Jesus Christ. Now, what I want to do is to talk about the Apostle Paul tonight. When you get to Acts chapter 20, Paul goes to Miletus and he's talking to the elders of the church. I want to read Acts chapter 20. I want to start with the 17th verse. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And the Jews even now are pursuing Paul to take his life. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when He had thus spoken, He kneeled down and prayed with them all. And they all wept sore and fell on Paul's neck and kissed him, sorrowing most of all for the words which he spake, that they should see his face no more. And they accompanied him unto the ship. Paul is headed to Jerusalem. He's ready to die for the cause of Jesus Christ. And in this interesting discourse, this beautiful discourse that he gives to the elders at Miletus, we find these interesting words in verse 24. But none of these things move me. It means I don't account of them to be of enough importance to divert my direction. I know my purpose in life. I know what I'm doing. These things don't move me. These things don't stress me out. Now, what kinds of things would you put in that category? The interesting thing, and what I want to talk about in this sermon, is that through the New Testament, you find a number of things, and in one way or another, Paul will say, that doesn't get to me. But then you flip it over, and we're going to talk about a few things, and Paul says, now that does get to me. That goes deep inside of me. This is a sermon that is a great challenge because, man, I want to be like Paul in these things. And I'm guaranteed, I tell you right now, I'm not. There are times when I let things get to me that I shouldn't. Are you like that? You want to know some things that don't get to Paul? I want you to keep your Bible open there at Acts chapter 20. Look at verse 22, and here's the first one. The uncertainties of the future do not get to Paul. They don't move him. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Do you get stressed about the things in this life, the uncertainties of tomorrow in reference to this life? A number of passages talk about this, you know. You think about James chapter 4. James says, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we'll go into such a city, continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. For you know not what shall be on the morrow. There's the uncertainty of life. He said, you ought to say this. If the Lord wills, we shall do this or that. It's uncertain. So how do you get through life without being so frustrated and moved or stressed by this? You remember, if the Lord wills, we'll be able to do this or that. You remember what Paul had to say about this over in Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6? He said, and this is King James, be anxious for nothing or be stressed out about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, there are times in the lives of people in this church when we have great uncertainty about the future in this life. There are some of you who have recently lost your spouse. Future seems so very uncertain. There are times when we have young people whose parents divorce, and the future seems so very uncertain. There are times in our employment when I may not have a job tomorrow. Looks like I won't. And the future just seems so very uncertain. What things get me through under those circumstances? How come Paul could say this, that the uncertainty of the future in this life doesn't move him? How could he say that? Two things. Number one, I know what Hebrews 13 and 4 says. My Lord said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I mean, I can get through my days like that. With that reassurance, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. But the second thing that helps me with the uncertainties of life is that I know how this thing ends. I know how this thing ends. I mean, it's like I can read the end of the book of my life before I finish living out the middle part. You know what Paul said in Philippians or 2 Timothy chapter 4? I'm now ready to be offered, the time of my departure is at hand. I'm going to heaven. I've got heaven prepared for me. And Christian, that's how we are. I can see my way through the uncertainties of life when I focus on the fact that the Lord said He would never leave me, and I focus on the fact that I know how this thing ultimately is going to turn out, and the answer is, I'm going to go home. I'm going home. All right. Paul, what doesn't move you? Why, he says, the uncertainties of life don't move me. Go to the next verse. I'm in Acts 20 now, in verse 23. Here's the next thing. Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Paul said, my bonds and my afflictions don't move me. I tell you what now, if you study the New Testament very long about our predecessors in the church, this is something you're going to find, that early Christians, our brothers and sisters suffered for the faith. I mean, they really did. Acts chapter 2, they suffered insults. 3 and 4, imprisonment. 5, beating. 7, stoning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, Paul talks about the sufferings he faced, and it was stoning and shipwrecked and all of these things. And how do you respond to that? How do you respond, Christian, to the fact that our predecessors suffered like that? I respond in gratitude because I don't have to fear like that. I'm not a bit afraid tonight preaching the deity of Jesus Christ. I don't have any fear about standing in front of you. I'm not a bit afraid of somebody coming in here and trying to stop me. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that I'm not persecuted like they were for Christianity. What's your emotion when you think about their suffering? Of gratitude? Because we're not facing those things. But also of wonder. I wonder if those things happened, I wonder if I would be up to it. I wonder if my faith would be strong enough. And number 3, I have this emotion of determination. I want to make sure that if things in our country, which we take for granted, the religious freedom that we have, if things changed and suddenly I don't have it, I'm determined to maintain my faith, then I'm going to keep on doing what I do, that I won't back down. Paul said, let me tell you what doesn't move me. Bonds and afflictions don't move me. The uncertainty about my life does not move me. What about the fear of death or the threat of death? Look at chapter 21 and verse 13. 21:13. Look at this one. Then Paul answered, what mean you to weep and to break mine heart? He's talking to these people at Caesarea, the Christians, and they say, you don't want to go to Jerusalem, Paul. It's too hot there. People are thirsting for your blood. The Jews are going to kill you if you go there. Prophet Agabus is standing there, and he takes Paul's girdle and he binds his hands and his feet, and he says, this is what's going to happen to the man who owns this girdle if he goes to Jerusalem. Paul, don't go. And here's Paul's reaction. What mean you to weep and break mine heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Get it. The uncertainties of life don't move him. Bonds and threats, they don't move him. Afflictions. The threat of death. He says, that doesn't affect me. He talked about this in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, when he said, you know, I'm at a strait between two. I mean, I don't know whether it's better to die and go on and be with the Lord or remain here with you. I know that you need me, and that's a good thing, but he's ready to be offered. I mean, he doesn't fear death at all. I know people like that. Well, he's come to the place where he completely is devoid of any fear about dying. And he says to these Christians, don't weep for me. Well, I'm ready to go to Jerusalem, and if it means dying for the cause of Christ, that's okay with me. That doesn't move me. That doesn't trouble me. Let's do one more. Go to Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. What kinds of things don't move Paul? Galatians chapter 1 and verse 10. This one's interesting too. Paul says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? In other words, when I preach, do you think that I'll listen to what men have to say in reference to my doctrine? Or should I preach what God wants me to say? I'm not trying to persuade God. I'm trying to persuade men. And my objective is not to please men in this. For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You have to remember that the Apostle Paul had some stature among the Jews before he became a Christian. I'm talking about the Jews that hated Christianity and hated Jesus Christ. And Paul was a leader among the Jews, and he gave all of that up. You know what? Something that didn't move Paul is popularity or the applause of men, the approval of men. He said, I'm not trying to persuade God, I'm trying to persuade men. Now that moves a lot of people, you know, because all of us have an inclination to want to be approved by the people around us. I don't care how old you get, you care about what people think of you. Or at least you should, you know. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You're the salt of the earth. That implies that you care what people think about you. But there's a line that's drawn. When do I cross the line? When my desire to appease or please the people around me, when does it become wrong? Obviously, when I compromise my Christian principles. Here's a Christian man traveling on a business trip, and I've heard men in this church say many times, you know, it gets a little lonely on my trips because I travel with other men. But listen, at night they want to go to the clubs, they want to go to the bars, they want to go to Hooters, and I'm not going. I'm not going to compromise that, and so I stay in the room by myself, or I go uptown and take a walk, or I go and have a long dinner by myself at the restaurant. But I'm not going to compromise. You mean you're not going to compromise even to appease men or to have the approval of others? Well, that's right. And Paul says, I'm not trying to persuade God. I'm trying to persuade men. I've got this thing figured out. That didn't move Paul. But when would it be wrong? Here's a teenage girl, Christian. And in order to fit in with the people around her, she wears immodest apparel. You know what? That's wrong. Why? Because she's compromised the principles of faith in order to fit in with or have the popularity of the people around her. You get the point. Paul says, that doesn't move me. Now, I think this list is very interesting, and I could point out other things, but this will get you going on this. Paul says, there are some things that do not move me. I mean, these things don't bother me. Now, why not? Because these are some things which would bother us. These are some things that we deal with, and they get to us. Why don't they bother Paul? And the answer is, none of them are tied to eternity. I mean, see, he's looking at eternity. He's not looking at this 60 or 70 or 80 years that I'm going to live here, 90 years I'm going to live here. He's looking at eternity. And out there before us is looming this huge eternity forever and ever and ever. And our soul will live in all eternity. And when you look at it like that, these things become rather trivial, don't they? You say, well, Paul, what about the popularity of the people around you? He says, that doesn't bother me. Now, I understand. Listen to me. Christians get along with people, or most people. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the Bible says, praising God and having favor with all the people. The characteristics of Christians, I think, are appealing to most people, but we're not governed by the applause of men. And Paul says, that doesn't bother me. The threat of death doesn't bother me. Why being in prison for the name of Christ, that doesn't bother. These things don't bother Paul. Why not? Because they're not tied to eternity. See, he counts not himself to have apprehended, but as he would put it, this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind him, reaching forward to the goal, I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, flip it over. What things do move Paul? The love of Christ does. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 14, he uses these words. He says, the love of Christ constraineth me. That word constraineth in the King James is very interesting. It means to mold or to bend or to shape. It means to pull into shape. And so what moves him? And this is an example of it. He says, the fact that Christ loves me, that does it. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, here's the second thing that moves him. The love and mercy of God move him. But God who is rich, listen to this terminology of Paul. By inspiration. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. The love of Christ moves me. And the love and mercy of God, they move me. The cross moved Him. Galatians 2 and 20, I am crucified with Christ. That's how he phrased it. And that's deep inside of him. Now, why would you use that terminology? What's the meaning of that? Well, remember, crucifixion is not a quick death. It's a slow death. And yet I live. I said, well, Paul, you're not crucified with Christ. You're still alive. He says, you don't get it. See, crucifixion is a slow and agonizing death. And what Paul is doing is every day doing away with the things that are inconsistent with Christ and conforming himself to Christ to the degree that he would say, you know what's inside of me? I'm crucified with Christ. I want to be like Jesus in every possible way. I want to be like my Lord. What moved him? The love of Christ, the love and mercy of God. The cross moved him. Religious error moved him. Here's Acts chapter 17, and Paul goes into Athens, and when he gets in there, history says there was a god, an idol on every corner. And the Bible says that Paul came into Athens and his spirit was stirred within him. Here's something that moves Paul. Not popularity and not the threat of death and all these other things. That don't move him, but here's one that does. Religious error does. He saw the city wholly given over to idolatry, the Bible says, and it stirred the spirit within him. Now see, you've got to understand something, that when we talk about sin, most people only think about moral things. I mean, if they believe in sin at all, they believe in moral sin. Things that are obvious, murder and fornication and all of the stealing and lying and moral things that are sin. But the Bible has another category of sin, and that is religious sin. It's always been true. You think about how many people of the Old Testament lost their lives at the hand of an angry God because of idolatry or because of drawing other people into idolatry. Religious error. And you get to the New Testament, and the New Testament teaches that Jesus came to build His church. And when Paul saw people who weren't following the will of God, they were following a religion, but it wasn't God's religion, it stirred his spirit. We ought to have that kind of dedication to the truth of the Bible and to the church of our Lord, that it would greatly disturb us to realize that people are following religious error. What is it that moved Paul? I want to know, do these things move you? I got one more to go, but do these things move you, or have you lost the ability to be moved by these? I mean, when you think about the love of Christ, does the love of Christ constrain you like it does Paul? Or when you think about the love and mercy of God, does that still move you inside emotionally? Does that still move you? When you think about the cross of our Lord, and preached about that this morning, does that still have an effect on you? Or has it become so commonplace that you don't think much about it? I want us to look to Paul. When you think about people who are involved in religious error, does that disturb you? It ought to disturb you, because all of these things are tied to eternity. They're tied to what's going to be out there in the future forever and ever and ever. Now here's one more. What moved Paul was his own sinfulness. His own sinfulness. Here's what he says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, "This is a faithful saying." I mean, this is true. He said, you can count on this. "And worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Now watch the rest. "Of whom I am chief." Now you reckon what effect that attitude had on the personality of Paul? I think that I would have enjoyed being around Paul. A man who recognizes this kind of sinfulness has to be a humble man, a gentle man, a man who has been affected by Christ. And you've got to understand something, that even though he referred to him in his past, "I was the chiefest of sinners," even though he said that, this is the same Paul who in 2 Timothy chapter 4 said, "I'm now ready to be offered. I fought a good fight. I finished the course. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." He knew he was going to heaven. And yet he also recognized the fact that his past was full of sin. And what he put to that was that the mercy of God must be so very great that even I can go to heaven. I love that about Paul. I want to be like that. And what moved him was the depth of his sin in his past life and the fact that he had been forgiven for those things. Now I want you to contrast this. And I want you to ask yourself a question, because this gets real deep into our soul. And I think that when you ask the question, what is it that moves a man, you kind of have a window into his soul. You learn something about that man that you might not otherwise be able to tell. What is it that gets to him? What is it that moves him? Paul said, "The uncertainty of life, I'm not moved by that. Bonds and afflictions, I'm ready to suffer for Christ. That doesn't bother me. What about the threat of death, Paul?" Nah. He said, if I live here, that's great. I can do service and help others and live a good life. But listen, when it's time to go, I'm going to heaven anyway. No, the threat of death doesn't bother me. What about the approval of the people around you? He said, no, that doesn't move me. He'd say, let me tell you what moves me. Now look, I want to make sure that these are the things that move me too, because this is the kind of person I want to be. The love of Christ moves me. The love and mercy of God moves me. Thinking about the cross, that moves me. Thinking about people around me who are wrapped up in religious error and they're lost, that moves me. Thinking about my own sin and how much I've been forgiven for, and that I'm the chiefest of sinners. You can't top me, he says. You say, yeah, but Paul, I've had sin in my past. Paul would say, you can't top me. I was the chiefest of sinners. But I obtained mercy and I'm going to heaven. When you get me talking about that, I want you to know that moves me. I want to ask you a question, Christian. What is it that moves you? What is it that moves you? And sometimes I need to stand back and go to a quiet place and just let the world stop for a few minutes and reevaluate what it is that I'm letting get to me, what it is that I'm letting move me, and make sure that I have everything straight and not cattywampus. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. I wonder if there's somebody here tonight who's ready to obey the gospel. We had a baptism this morning and the angels of heaven rejoiced, and the Christians are still rejoicing over Cynthia being baptized, and maybe there's someone else who's ready tonight to put on his Lord in baptism. Repent of your sins, confess Jesus, and we'll immerse you tonight. If you are a member of the body but you're unfaithful and you need to be restored, why, you know we'll pray with you tonight. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Would you like to respond? Then come as we stand and sing.
We hope you've enjoyed this lesson from God's Word, brought to you by the West Huntsville Church of Christ. If you would like to continue your study of God's Word with a Bible correspondence course, please contact the church office at area code 256-837-8730.